Hello, everybody, and welcome to NPC Cast. On today's episode, the guys share some of their most memorable moments in gaming, and so much more. It is March 8th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 10 of NPC Cast.
You are now listening to NPC Cast, your place for face-to-face games.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to NPC Cast, your place for face-to-face games. My name is Chris, and I'm coming to you from sunny Seattle, Washington. And like I have for the past 10 weeks, I brought some NPCs along for the ride with me today. On my left is NPC Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
Swell.
You are swell.
I'm swell.
You're not swelling?
Not yet.
Oh, wow. Off to a great start. Episode 10. Best episode ever! All right, coming to us also from the frozen tundra of the north, Mr. Dell. Dell, how are you doing?
I am filled with a number of phlegms and oozes from this sickness ravaging my body.
Phlegms and oozes. That sounds like a classic D&D adventure.
It does.
It actually really does, too, yeah.
How apropos. But we will get into that. As always, this is NPC Cast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/NPCcast. We used to be /TheNPCcast, but we moved on up into the world, got rid of the. There's like some kids who, God bless their hearts, had like a little video game podcast, but they passed away.
No, because we crushed them into oblivion.
Okay, so they didn't.
I think that's the story we should have.
Okay, so we crushed them into oblivion. They're like, oh man, we only have like 8 followers, and they have like 40, and so we're like, ha ha ha, 40 followers, yes. But now we are on facebook.com/npccast. You can find us on the world wide web at www.npccast.com. You can find us on where else can you find us? You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you're listening to this episode and you like what you hear, give us a thumbs up or a 5-star review, and we will greatly appreciate it. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside.
You can also find each of us individually on Twitter.
Yes, you can find us on Twitter. Aaron, what is your Twitter handle?
It is at NPC Aaron. That's with 2 A's, not an E.
Del, what is my Twitter handle?
I believe it's at NPC Chris. I don't know. I have you on ignore.
I was trying to mix you up there. I am at NPC Chris. And Dell, what is your Twitter handle for the folks at home?
I am at NPC Dell, D-E-L.
And you can also follow the show's Twitter, which is at the NPC Cast on Twitter as well. Episode 10, feeling strong, feeling good.
It's a momentous occasion.
It is. Dell, you're a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, but I've been drinking NyQuil, so it's like I'm celebrating with alcohol.
Sipping on the scissorp.
Wow.
Hey, if they make songs about it, it must be okay.
I have a bit of side business.
Oh, okay.
I went to a Magic the Gathering standard tournament on Monday.
Yes.
Met a bunch of cool players. Had a lot of fun, scrubbed out. I think I won 2 games all night with what should be a Tier 1 Esper deck. But I did meet a player in round 4, and he promised to listen to our podcast if I would give him a shout-out. So, Corey Hun, this is your shout-out on the NPC Cast. And if you would like to be shouted out as well, you can tweet at us, and we will try and fit you into our strictly regimented radio time.
I'm in. Our schedule is pretty packed, but if you really want us to shout you out, we'll fit you in.
We'll do our best.
Between our like power luncheons,
yeah,
and
power brunchons,
our power brunchons, mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of power,
yeah.
But speaking of killing,
well, first of all, thank you, Corey, for listening. I don't know how we could have not shouted him out, and you would have had to listen anyway to hear the shout out. But in this case, we followed through on our word. Because we were a gentleman.
We should have strung him along and been like, on the next episode, a certain person whose name rhymes with Gory might hear their shout out if they continue listening to the NPC Cast.
Gory Bun. yes. So coming along with episode 10, we wanted to do something special. And I talked previously about us working behind the scenes on bringing you guys more stuff, more podcast stuff to sink your teeth into, or sink your ears into, I guess, in this case. So we worked pretty hard, and we put together a little something for you guys. And actually, I could tell you what it is, but I think that this might work a little bit better. Now, the NPCs don't know about this, but let's go ahead and give it a listen.
In a world where everything is not quite what it seems, four intrepid heroes band together.
Your adventuring party has been together for a while.
Trado the thief, that's me.
Restu the elf!
I'm actually the mystical one.
I am Crago of the mountain, not from the mountain, of the mountain.
And they set off on a quest that will change their lives forever.
You've been hearing murmurs about the hidden fortress of Zeligar and Rogan. I know where that fortress is. I have a map.
All right, Blind Willy. I'll follow along. Let's see this map. We're going to be very cautious because we're seasoned adventurers. We've killed tons of rats, and rats lay traps.
Who dares enter this place and intrude upon the sanctuary of its inhabitants?
Why is everything a roll?
Give him space. I've seen him work his magic before.
So the plan is we're going to go into a combat. I'm going to cast sleep, and then we're going to wait for 9 hours.
These lizard men are choking the crap out of that lady.
Once you get to the dungeon, you're just going to see and hear this all the time.
Total party kill session 1. In search of the unknown.
Oh, Gygax. You bastard.
I am so glad you made that.
I don't... Whatever that is, I want it.
Yes! Total party kill. Session 1 in search of the unknown. That is right. We are going to bring you total party kill. That is going to be an NPC cast produced actual play. I like to call it TPK, a.k.a. the NPC cast actual play. And we are going to bring that to you. We started with an old adventure, an oldie but a goodie, right, Aaron?
Yeah, module B1. We play Dungeons & Dragons Basic. The module is called In Search of the Unknown, and it was distributed originally with the D&D Basic, like, box set.
Yes.
Before even Keep on the Borderlands, which is the other adventure people know from that era.
Mm-hmm. And it was released recently for free on DriveThruRPG. So we scooped up and we figured, why not start at the beginning? And we were going to run an actual play. So that will be up next Tuesday. And every Tuesday until the session is done. I'm not going to reveal how many episodes it is because that would spoil when or if we die. But that being said, that's something you can look forward to. Del, tell us a little bit about the experience of recording this. But tell us in the voice of Presto the Elf.
Oh, Presto the Elf. What a delightful time we had with exploring the dungeon.
I feel like Presto the Elf is Robin Williams' voice as Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's in there.
I feel like that's his Robin Williams' normal voice. The Robin Williams we hear is actually him doing an impression of a person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we hear his Presto the Elf voice.
I was going to say, recording was actually a ton of fun. I was really excited because we all have our own mics and it all sounds great because there are other things I've listened to where they just sort of set up a mic in the middle of the table and everybody talks over each other and it sounds echoey. And this just sounded super great. And I was very excited throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it turned out great. We do have to give a shout out to my good friend Pete, who, like a champion, came through. He engineered the entire session for us. I mean, he brought, we have a few mics when we do the podcast, but he brought, extra mics. He brought a huge a rack that had all the interface on it. He brought his laptop. He was monitoring the entire thing. And he's actually, I've started to edit the episodes together. And he was instrumental in helping us with that. So we cannot thank him enough. The good thing, though, is that he enjoyed himself. So he's going to he agreed to do more in the future. So the first one, though, will be out next Tuesday. It's going to be on the same feed, and I think we're going to probably do that for a while until maybe we'll split them off. But in the meantime, you can hear us actually play Dungeons & Dragons. Super stoked on it, and yeah, it was a great time. I even said on Twitter, actually, I was like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, Internet, but I played original D&D, and I had some of the most fun I've ever had playing a role-playing game.
Don't apologize to the Internet.
It never did anything for you.
Yeah, what has the Internet ever done for
like
you?
Apologizing is going to make it forgive you.
Yeah, right. Never.
But speaking of the most memorable, fun experiences I've had in role-playing, we decided that episode 10 is going to be a little bit different than our normal episodes, and we're going to take a little bit of time to tell you guys more about our experiences in games. So this may be a little bit self-referential, this episode. If you're looking for us to, you know, dissecting Monopoly or interviewing game designers or something like that, you might want to tune into a different episode, because this one's going to be sort of about our experiences.
But you shouldn't tune into a different episode until after this one's over.
Sure, yeah, listen to the rest of it. Buy all the stuff that all the stuff that we advertise on the commercials, and then listen to a different episode.
You made commercials?
No.
Oh.
But I might put some in post.
Let's record them live. Do it live.
Okay, Tide detergent, actually, I think is going to be in on this episode.
Presto's 10-foot poles and torches.
Oh, you take one ladder, turn them into 2 10-foot poles. So let's talk a little bit about, we'll start it off, and I guess I'll go ahead and start and tell you guys a little bit about how I sort of began in role-playing. I was a youngster, and I really liked, there's a couple NES games at the time. There was Deja Vu and Shadowgate were two like click and play NES games, basically.
Yeah, the first person puzzlers. I remember those.
Yep. And I was playing Shadowgate one day, and a friend of mine from across the street, I was probably 8 or 9 actually when I was playing this, you know, came over and he was like, hey, you know, my brother plays a game that's like that. And I was like, oh, that's cool. The game he was talking about was ElfQuest, which is an old RPG that I never actually played, although I did bribe this kid into sneaking into his brother's room and stealing character sheets because they had art on the character sheets that I thought was really cool.
Mm.
So I used to pay them in chocolate milk, and he would actually bring me character sheets. But
the old reliable currency of old,
yes.
Chocolate milk.
Oh, man, better days. You could buy a gallon of gas for a cup of chocolate milk.
It's true.
Yeah, it was like 4 Airheads to the milk box. I remember this economy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he told me about these things called role-playing games, and I had never heard of them before. So my mom, we didn't have Google. We had a telephone book, and so we looked in hobbies, and there was a fantastic toys and games. And we went over there, and the very first ever RPG that I ever owned was a copy of GURPS. Steven Jackson's game.
I see you started off with a light and fluffy game.
Right.
That's really easy to get into for kids.
It was GURPS for children. And I've sort of told the NPCs about this a little bit, and they tease me about it. But, you know, obviously I didn't really know or understand the rules of GURPS. As far as I was concerned, at the very end, to explain how role-playing worked, at the very end of the GURPS book, there was basically a choose-your-own-adventure. And so that's how I, like, played GURPS. It says, like, you had your character that it pre-genned character, and it says, okay, your character encounters this, what do you want to do? And you're like, okay, I'm gonna fight this guy. And then it tells you in the choose your own adventure portion, like, okay, roll this, if you roll this you hit him, and you go here, if you miss you this happens, and you go here. And so that's kind of how that ran. But it got really intense when I got into elementary school, and I started, you know, telling friends about this role-playing game, because back even before the internet existed, there was Edition Wars, and I was in third grade. I had a little club. There was 3 or 4 of us that played GURPS, but there was 3 or 4 other kids that played Dungeons and Dragons, which was a competing game. And it got so intense that we would have mediation. The teacher had to mediate a sit down meeting with us, because we would just rag on each other. Cause I was like, no, this system's superior. You could be like a space guy or a knight. And what's Dungeons and Dragons? Oh, it's so stupid and blah, blah, blah. That sort of started my, I guess, passion for role-playing games. And that's how I kind of got my start, is I started, you know, it was just, to me, it was the chance to live out choose-your-own-adventure books as a kid, but do it with characters that I was able to make.
Has it changed?
No. The core is still there. I mean, it's basically the same. But that's why I get so excited about, you know, games, new games that add to that and basically, you know, build on that already established regimen of how role-playing games work.
So do you have, like, any particular early campaign memories that like, were awesome moments?
From when I was, like, a kid?
Yeah, from in your early GURPS Dungeons & Dragons days.
No, you know, honestly, I even though I owned GURPS first, I'd never actually, I don't think, played, like, even a full campaign of GURPS. We just rolled characters a lot, and that's why I had the ElfQuest character sheets, because I would cut out the pictures that came on the ElfQuest character sheets and, like, color them in and draw, like, clothes and stuff on them. And then those would be, like, my GURPS, I'm doing air quotes, characters.
See, when I was about, I don't know, maybe, like, 9, 8 or 9, my uncle gave me the original Advanced Dungeons & Dragons book set. I had the Player's Handbook, the Dungeon Master's Guide, and the Monster Manual. And at first, all I did was color in the pictures and ruin the value of them, because they would be worth a lot more to this day if I did not color all of the Monster Manual pictures. But so he gave us those, and the back of the AD&D Monster Manual, because I didn't have anyone to really play with at the time, was a way to randomly roll a dungeon. So I would just make, like, 2 characters or 4 characters or whatever, and then randomly roll a dungeon and just see how far I could get before I died.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess they actually put a way to play solo in the book at that point. And that's how I got my start. And then I kind of forgot about it for a while. And then when I got older and second edition was popular, a friend showed me that, I think, in junior high or so. And that's kind of where role-playing took hold, and I realized that I love these games, and I think I've been playing them pretty much ever since, with very few breaks.
Del, do you remember your first ever experience with role-playing games?
I do. I do. I got into it way later than everybody else. I went to a new high school in 9th grade from where I was in middle school, so I didn't know anybody. And the only kid in school nerdier than me and I ended up in the same class together, journalism, go fig. And he introduced me to D&D, and I rolled up a dude and joined his game. I made Ryu the Wujian wizard in using the kits from Second Ed's Complete Wizard Handbook. And it was complete insanity, because it was, you know, 6 14-year-olds trying to be corralled by a 7th 14-year-old, all fueled by candy and Mountain Dew nonstop.
Yes.
So it was complete Nutsville, crazy town. But we definitely had a lot of fun. It doesn't matter what system it is, you can have fun in anything. And nobody knew what they were doing, but we all had a blast.
Do you have any particular campaign memories from then?
I do. I do. We did, it wasn't Escape the Undermountain. It was something about Dragon Mountain, that module for 10th level-ish people. And at the time, I was playing a Thrykreen fighter, and there's a scene where you have to defend a town from, like, 400 kobolds. So we found a rule where if the fighter has, it's like Overmaster, where he's enough levels or hit dice above the enemy, he gets a number of attacks equal to his level. And then we figured out that as a Thrykreen at my level, I would hit on a 4, and then they cast Haste on me, and I just went claw, 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 bite, ×2 ×10. And I was literally just rolling a d20 every round, saying I kill that many kobolds, as I just became this insectoid blender.
but what's sad is that I know that that's a sacrifice, because I believe Thrykreen at that point have a lifespan of 35 years.
5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Wow, that's a terrible sacrifice, because that haste shortened your lifespan by 1 year. You aged 1 year.
Yeah, it was. We talked about it. They're like, you know, this is going to cost you like half of the rest of your life. And I'm like, I'm going to die.
It's noble.
No adventurer dies of old age if he's a good adventurer.
This is sort of becoming like a therapy session. We're all very like sort of like dreary and explaining our history and our memories. But one of the things that I think is telling to this point is that I didn't really start, like, I played role-playing games, and me and my friends, I'd try to get as many of my friends, and my cousin actually would come over every weekend and we'd try to play. But there was no one else that I lived around that was really as into it as I was at the time. And I think part of that was just because, you know, I was pretty nerdy, and then eventually I discovered, you know, The Hobbit, and it was sort of all over from there. The very first actual long campaign I was in was actually a Dungeons & Dragons advanced D&D campaign, and it was put on by an employee at one of my local game stores. And it was like once a week. I think it was like it was maybe a Friday or Saturday. I don't remember. I was a child. It was awesome.
Every day is Friday when you're 9.
Right, especially like in the summer. Oh, I would go there. I had a key to the local game store I was at when I was like 15, and the owner would call me up and be like, "Hey, I'm running late. Can you go open the store?" And I would just be like, "Okay." And so I'd like man this local. I mean, and for obvious reasons, that store does not exist anymore.
Really, the store that gave the keys to a 15-year-old isn't around anymore?
No, it's not. Somewhere along the lines.
On a side effect, there's a huge shelf full of tons and tons of products to my right.
I'm trying to find I have all my old RPGs, and I was looking for them the other day.
You were keeping that shop in business, weren't you? Your 15-year-old allowance was like paying that guy's bills, I bet.
Well, it was like, you know, the highest seller was like their, like, you know, 50% or 50-cent can of soda. You know, that's like the main thing that kept them alive.
So I have a pretty good story of that era, actually, of AD&D. And it's funny because it mentioned something that I said never to do in the Avoiding Cliche episode. But at this point, it was the first time I'd ever seen it done. So it wasn't cliche yet. My friend and I played in a campaign with a dungeon master that we went to school with, and we were well into like epic levels at this point. We were like level 32 or something stupid that barely works in AD&D anymore. Our DM also ran a campaign for his brother that we knew nothing about except that it existed. And so he said, you know, my brother wants to come play with us this weekend. And we started playing this like murder mystery he set up in this town. Where there was some, you know, crazy person killing all these women, and we were trying to find who it was. And so we were searching and searching. At some point, we were in our hotel, and our hotel got lit on fire. And Tom, the brother, who, you know, was new to our campaign, he was like, my character jumps out the window, and he's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. When he got up, he accidentally, and there's some air quotes on that, dropped this like journal in the middle of the game that we didn't even notice for a moment, and like he left, and me and Joe are talking about what we're gonna do, and then we realized the journal, and our DM had made this journal for his character. We like pick it up and we jump out the window, and Tom's character's not there anymore, and we start leafing through it, and he filled the journal with all these like American Psycho-esque murder drawings.
Oh, awesome.
And like through the journal we realized that like that his character was the murderer, and it was an amazing like reveal. It's similar to when you watched Sixth Sense for the first time, because we didn't even think ever that one of our own could, you know, players could be that. We've right. never happened before. And then we tried to replicate that about 30 different times, and it never worked as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was getting at too, is when you like you start playing role-playing games, you're figuring it out. And this goes back into, you know, when we did that, recorded the actual play, you know, coming back into that actual play of that encounter that came with the first D&D box set. If I was going into that, I had no experience playing RPGs, it'd be a totally different experience than me having played RPGs for the past, you know, 20 odd years. It was really cool to start when you start playing with people outside of your group of friends, because you see ideas like that come into place. And that's why, you know, to this day, I'm very adamant about brick and mortar stores getting opportunities to thrive. Maybe not the ones that give their, you know, their shop keys to 15-year-olds, but the good ones, I'm you know, a staunch supporter of. And that's because I really feel like, you know, RPGs are an inherently social hobby.
Face to face.
Yeah, there. We should make that a tagline.
We should. We should go back and retroactively put it on all the episodes up to this one.
Well, since like through the magic of editing, and this episode we're actually recording before we record any other episodes, I can just go and every episode we do from now on, I'll just put that at the beginning, I think.
That's a good idea.
Cool. So the RPG for me was the gateway, obviously. And then, of course, you know, once I was going to this game store, you know, once a week or more, if I could get my parents to drive me there, then came the magic cards, then came the tabletop games and the board games and the minis games and all of those sort of things. Aaron, do you remember the first sort of board game that you played that wasn't like
a Monopoly or a Candyland or a Sorry?
I do. I don't know if I remember. Was it Dragon Quest or Dungeon Quest? Oh. It was D&D themed.
Hang on. Let me go grab my copy of Spider-Man 2099 that I have hanging out from that era and check what's on the back page because I know exactly what you're talking about.
It will be on the back page of
it
Spider-Man
2099. It was Dragon something.
I think Dragon Strike.
Yep, I'm that's it.
Sure it's Dragon Strike. It is Strike, and it was actually pretty awesome.
Yes,
I loved it. We played through every adventure in the book. We played our own adventures in addition.
Yeah,
and that was like that's what my parents got me when they saw that I was like playing these solo D&D games.
Yeah,
that's depressing. Let's get him something else that he can.
Did
play.
You ever have like the typical sort of nerd moment where you're playing like a game like that with your or a game like Dungeons and Dragons with your friends and your mom came in and asked you who was winning?
Yeah, all the time. My mom didn't understand it at all.
I was at my local game store the other week and that actually happened to a group of players that were playing I think they were playing Pathfinder, but one of their mothers actually came and asked who was winning and I was like, oh my god, the torch has been passed to the new generation.
There's just something awesome about gaming with like younger people. I actually I said I would mention I met some friends as well, like Del did, this guy Henry and Raven and a couple others whose names aren't coming to me right now. I apologize to them, but I sat down and played a game with them randomly, some high school kids, and I guess they have a weekly meeting at the game store we play at, and they play every Wednesday, so I'll probably say hello again. But they asked if I would mention them on the podcast. I said I didn't know, and now I did. But it was crazy to play with them.
Wait,
and
you
like,
said you didn't know if you had mentioned them on the podcast?
I said I didn't know what we were talking about. And if
were you holding your hand, your palm out while you were saying that? Like, oh, I don't know.
Actually, I was texting my agent.
Oh.
I wasn't even really paying attention to them.
Yeah. Well, with your contract with New Line, you're not quite sure if you can mention other gaming groups and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
But anyway,
I'm dying over here. I'm dying.
You're dying
of laughter and mucus.
Yeah, Dell, unfortunately, we're not going to hear his trademark laugh in the background because he's on push to talk right now because he is sick and we
don't want to catch it.
Yeah, we don't want those germs to come through.
I've heard computers can get viruses. That's what I've heard.
I cannot get sick. Yeah. I cannot go back to jail.
The thing I remember most clearly about games is all my various character deaths from hubris and arrogance and just very, very poor planning. There was a Rifts game I was in when I was, you know, 15 or 16. We the juicer started some trouble in town and we ran away. And I figured since, you know, we just grabbed our gear on the way out, I hadn't had time in the running firefight to put on my armor, my mega damage armor. And so when the DM looked over and said, hey, Scoop, are you wearing your mega damage armor? I'm like, no, I haven't put it on yet. We've been running. He's like, okay, well, take 4,000 SDC. This, you know, smear of paste on the side of the van. And everybody made fun of me for that. There was also the game Aaron was running where I was a rogue desperately trying to hang on to my last few hit points at negative, almost my bloodied value as we fought a death sphinx. And I finally did. I made all my saves and got just enough healing to stay alive. And the barbarian, you know, cut the Sphinx's head off. And then Aaron points out that the Sphinx has a death attack in burst 10 that had knocked me to more than negative bloodied. And
I want to point out that I have not killed a ton of characters in 4th edition D&D, but I have killed you like 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's quantity.
Yeah.
And quality, I guess. But
once you find the character that, you know, you can kill, you find the player, you just keep killing them.
My most memorable character death, now that we're talking about character deaths, there's a couple that I have. But the one that sticks out to me most was back again at this game store I used to go to frequent. There was a Call of Cthulhu play group. And I started playing with them because I'd never played, but I was like, I loved role playing, so I was like, yeah, I'm up for anything, whatever. And so I basically played like I think he was like a librarian or like an architect or something, but he also had like a sawed off shotgun, and basically you know would kill bad guys and stuff. So we played for a while. It was like a weekly game, and it got to a point where it was the quintessential GM PC where you know the person running the game. Had a character, and I believe the character's name might have actually even been Avatar, which is sort of ironic. But he had this character that was, you know, supremely powerful and is sort of like, he wasn't necessarily like a villain. He was just a driving force, a character in the background of the campaign that was sort of, you know, telling our, or giving us things to do or tasks to do or kind of manipulating things behind the scenes. But I, by a stroke of luck, had stumbled upon an amulet that apparently it made it so that his character could not touch me or harm me in any way. So I was no longer beholden to this person's whims. And that campaign went on for a couple months before stopping. A month or so after the campaign ended, I was at the card shop. And I was, the same GM was running a game with some other players, another Call of Cthulhu game. And I was just sitting and kind of listening because we were friends at that point. I was kind of checking out the game. And they had encountered this other, this GMPC. And the GMPC says, all right, well, there's this person. He has an amulet I want. I want you to get it from him. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to find where he lives. And we're going to firebomb his house and just blow him up. And so they do that. And the GM turns to me and he says, your character's dead.
That's awesome.
And you died, like, off screen.
Yes. And I loved it. I was like, you know what? Because we were going to play again. We hadn't played in a couple of months. I was like, that was closure. I'm like, I'm glad. Because sometimes a character death, like, it's not always a bad thing, right? Like, that's, sometimes you need it. It's, you know, the campaign is at its end. It's not playing anymore. You want your character to die. And so my character got firebombed off screen.
I think my favorite moment DMing, though, has nothing to do with killing characters and has to do with a momentary invention. I was running sort of a steampunky post-apocalyptic D&D game, and I didn't come up with anything for the adventure, and there was no real plot to, like, carry us anywhere at that point. They'd kind of wrapped up one and hadn't picked up on another yet, and I didn't want to just start a new plot without putting some thought into it. So off the top of my head, I decided that this world had a league for a game called Doomball, which is sort of similar to Blood Bowl, but like less a sport and more murder, like less emphasis on the sport and more on the killing. And I made up some rules on the fly and I drew a court on the table. And at the time, my PCs, had Dell included, had gotten to a town that I had not named. But I said it was like a goblin town, and they said it was Cleveland, but like C-L-E-A-V-E. So, and that since it was, you know, the steam factories were the were the driving force of the economy, the Cleveland Steamers, being the PC's team, decided to play Doomball. And then they pretty much only wanted to play Doomball. They did not care about the world-ending second apocalyptic event coming.
No, because the Drow pirates had a Tyrannosaurus on the field.
Yeah, what? Every like team had their own arena, and it had its own unique set of obstacles.
Yeah, there was the gnome teleporters.
Yeah, the Drow pirates had a T-Rex on a chain in the middle of the field that you would, you know, try to eat you if you got close to it.
Del, for you, do you remember the first time you played a board game that was like not one of your standard traditional?
I do. It was with a bunch of friends in 2006 or 7, and
recently.
Yeah, I mean, I got into everything super late, which is why I got into it so hardcore. Except for Magic, I was there for, you know, unlimited. The first game we played was this Asian-themed, like, resource management game. Year of this Dragon, I want to say, where there's exactly 12 turns, and they're randomly determined, and there's curses and stuff mm-hmm. happening. That was the first time I played, and they got me into Ricochet Robots, which everyone but me hates. They also got me into Pit, which I haven't had a chance to play since I moved, and I'd really like to. Pit's like 120 years old now, and it's basically a game about cornering the market like Monopoly, but actually fun because it happens in real time.
Yeah, I mean, my first experience with a non-family game was back in the day. They used to do the World Championships of Magic the Gathering. It used to be in Redmond at the Wizards of the Coast headquarters. And so whenever they would do it yearly, we would go there because, you know, we played Magic and we traded Magic cards and a bunch of people would show up. And at the time, they had there a oversized board of Robo Rally that you could play. And so Robo Rally was one of the first ones that I was like, wow, this is like a game that's a little bit more intricate than, you know, Candyland or Sorry or what have you. Although I was, admittedly, I played it on boards where the robots were like, you know, 3 feet tall.
Yeah, I tried so hard to convince my parents to send me to their Dungeons and Dragons summer camp, but it never, they were like, we're not going to spend $600 on that.
Yeah, we're not going to spend $600 for you to spend summer indoors. Like at like in downtown, we could do that here for free.
I still kind of feel I missed out. If anybody knows of a Dungeons and Dragons summer camp that accepts 29-year-olds,
that's what we need, a grown ass man with a beard showing up at like some summer camp.
I could shave. I'd shave for the summer camp counselor. Okay, that'd be awesome. Is the camp counselor just the DM? It's got to be, right? That's what he does.
Yeah, that actually would be pretty awesome. There's nothing more fun than gaming with kids.
Yeah, and you know, in when we were talking about how we were going to do episode 10 of kind of a retrospective about just our sort of opinions, that is one thing that still resonates with me, is the fact that, you know, going back and thinking of how you experience these games when you first laid eyes on them. Like, I remember, like, the reason that I love miniatures games to this day is because the first time I ever looked at a Battletech board, I was eye level with the robots, you know? Like, I was short, and I looked up, I could barely like look over like the hills because they had, you know, 3D hills and stuff. I was like, this is amazing. Like, from that perspective, it was so cool, you know. And I think that a lot of times, like, you know, as people get older, but especially as gamers get older, they get a little bit jaded, a little bit cynical, and they forget that, you know, you can play the oldest version of Dungeons and Dragons and still have a really, really good time doing it.
Basically, they forget that the hobby of gaming has things that can get them excited.
Oh my gosh. Should we go into what we're excited about?
We should.
Let's do it right now. All right, and for the things that we are excited about portion, I will go ahead and start. As we were talking about sort of recapturing those old experiences in games, something was released earlier this week on Kickstarter. What I am talking about is the Kobolds Ate My Baby re-envisioning. This time it's going to be in full color. I love Kobolds Ate My Baby because it is exactly what I want in an RPG that's light and quick. It's fun, it's wacky, it's over the top, your characters die. That is how you play Kobolds Ate My Baby.
Yeah, and they got John, I'm going to mispronounce his last name, I bet, because I only ever read it, but John Kovalik from Munchkin, the artist that does all the Munchkin and like Steve Jackson game stuff, to do it. And he's a perfect fit, I think.
Yep. It looks amazing. Like I said, it's on Kickstarter now. I've backed it. Dale, have you ever played Kobolds Ate My Baby?
No, but I've seen character sheets posted that are as amazing as anything I've seen ever.
Can you describe why they're as amazing as anything you've ever seen ever?
They just have this goofy ethic. Like, you know how Monty Python is funny and silly and everybody tries to recapture that and it's just silly and dumb and overwrought? Like, there's an earnestness and well, of course they have stats for that, you know, sort of sort of feel to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nuts. It's there's some things about the game that are kind of wacky. I mean, I'll tell you right now, it's very hard to do pretty much anything. The way that the system works is, you know, you have a tough go at it, but you're a kobold. And like, the whole premise of the entire thing is, you know, you're trying to eat things like babies, and sometimes you don't succeed. And when you don't succeed, you can die in the most hilarious of ways. They have a whole table of, you know, tell you how you die. So it's really cool. The thing about Kobolds Ate My Baby is that it started off as, it was black and white. I mean, it began basically as like, you know, some photocopies basically stapled, like very much like a zine. But now, you know, in 2013, we have something like called Kickstarter, where someone can take this really niche idea that has a cult following and make it into a game. So I'm looking at it right now, and they are already pledged. Their goal was 11,000. They're at 18,500. So, yeah, they have almost a month to go. It's pretty awesome. I definitely recommend checking it out. We'll put it in the show notes, of course. It's definitely like just a fun time. It's a good game to get people who are not really into RPGs sort of into the hobby a little bit, because it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's very, you know, fast.
Yeah, I believe on their Kickstarter they describe it as a beer and pretzels RPG.
Yep.
And it definitely is. It might also be a good one to someday do a TPK episode of.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good idea. We should probably do another one of those because that last one was so fun.
Yeah. We should probably just stop doing these, actually.
We'll put it on the calendar. I don't have a calendar. We need to get... Okay, step one. Get a calendar.
Okay.
Step two.
Wait, hold on. Julian or Gregorian?
Are those calendar types?
Yes.
I was thinking Mayan.
Mayan would be... Oh, that one's over, though.
Damn it. All right, we'll work on it.
Okay.
In the meantime, we're going to let Del tell us what he's excited about. Del, what are you excited about this week?
I am excited that I have... I'm basically putting a team back together. I'm Murdoch, and my friends are all Face and Hannibal and BA, and it's real exciting because we actually knuckled down and spent, you know, a little over a week refining and putting a deck together that we feel has a chance in the current standard environment in Magic the Gathering. Basically, the concept behind the deck is that it is main deck answers. It doesn't run any threats. It just intends to win every match 1-0 going to time and have answers for every problem. But yeah, it's exciting to me because the last time I was in a deck building team, the last time I had a crew that I played Magic with rather than just a friend who I saw at FNM, but a team of guys that we actually worked together on something, I put together Mind's Desire in 2003, and my list was three cards off of what Masato Oiso eventually won a Pro Tour with. So I am super psyched to be brewing again and making quality decks and having a team of people who are awesome who are not you guys. You guys are awesome too. I'm just saying they're additionally awesome.
Yeah. I think brewing decks is something that I really, really enjoy doing. It's one of my favorite parts of Magic. You know, and I'm not one of those people who is like very like, oh, net deck ruled, you know, has ruined everything. I think net decking is just what happens when you have something like the internet exist and you can't really, it is what it is. But no, brewing is definitely fun. Like I always love, you know, when a fresh format comes out, you know, when there's a new release or something like that comes out, that changes the way the standard format's working, and when you have a chance to just, you know, for at least for a couple of weeks, play some FNMs with a deck that you create yourself, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with net decking either, but that's the one thing that has kept me more on the fringes of Magic, just playing Limited these days, is because the format evolves so fast and is quote unquote solved very quickly. I just miss being able to like come to like my game store every week with something nobody has seen or even thought about yet. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I didn't always win, but it was fun to post up decent results. And now it seems a little bit harder to do that.
What are you excited about this week, sir?
I am excited about a game I just got. It's actually a game I mentioned on here before and I played a while ago. I saw it on the Watch It Played. I saw it mentioned on Watch It Played on YouTube, which is a great show. Check it out if you can. It's called Mice and Mystics. I bought it. It was out at our local game store that we go to forever. You know, when I eventually finally bought it off the internet, which I almost never do, just so I could get a copy of it. I love it. It's a cooperative, like, kind of dungeon crawly type board game. There's no like DM type figure. The game runs against you on its own, and it's like Mouse Guard or Redwall, where you're like little mice with medieval weaponry. It has a storybook you can play through as a campaign that my wife and I are currently playing through. That is deceptively difficult. We played through the first mission, beat it easily, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's the downside of this game. And then it took us three tries. And long into the night to beat the second part of the campaign afterwards. But it's designed by a guy, Jerry Hawthorne, who you can follow on Twitter @mice_guy. It's a great game. I would recommend it. I'm excited to someday play it with my son. That's like another reason I got it, because the storybook you read aloud as you progress through it, it's very kid-friendly, very family-friendly. And I just think that, you know, it captures that old old-timey kid game magic for me personally.
Yeah. I mean, we're at a point right now where literally Aaron could be a father by the time I finish the sentence.
Yeah, my wife could text me at any moment and be like, hey, come to the hospital.
There's a baby here.
Yeah.
It's not ours, but it looks cute. Anyways.
Something tells me that that's not the time for joking.
Well, when is the time for joking?
Any other time.
You want your son to come into the world on a cloud of mirth.
Yeah, you don't want him to turn out dour like me.
But that's true. But I do want him to come into the world to a living father.
Oh, okay.
And not somebody that my wife strangled to death.
Fair enough. I think that's going to be it. I think we, this episode is a little bit different than our normal, but hey, we get one episode every 10 to talk a little bit about us and share some stories with each other, because we've been playing games for a while, but I mean, I think a lot of our, where we started wasn't really openly known for all of us. So.
I thought the part about me was fascinating. I think we could work on the parts about you and Dell, but I think the parts about me were good.
Well, we'll get the writers on it. So
that's the other secret. None of us have ever actually played a game. We're characters.
We're actually all the same person. Anywho, so that's going to be the show. I have to say thank you once again to our good friend Pete, and I'll thank him on the TPK episode as well. Look for TPK. It will be out next Tuesday. We're starting off strong with some original D&D, and I hope you guys really like that. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, like I said at the top of the show. Please, if you like what you've heard, feel free to also give us a thumbs up or a 5-star review. And most importantly, we have been growing. Our listener base is growing. I'm looking at subscribers, and we're growing every week. And that is 100% due to you guys telling your friends about our show. And we sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, appreciate that. So please, please, please.
Even me.
Even Dell, who's heartless.
He killed a hobo, stole a heart so that he could have something come from the bottom of his heart, basically.
Right. So yeah, if you have a friend who's into games or into podcasts, let them know that, hey, there's a podcast out there that's not objectively horrible. I only think two out of three of those guys probably aren't murderers. So it's a good thing. That being said, I think we're going to go ahead and close it out. You can go ahead and add 1,000 XP to your character sheet, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye. NPC Cast is written by Chris, Dell, and Aaron. You can reach us on Twitter at twitter.com/NPCcast or by email at thenpccast@gmail.com. As always, support your local game store.